Welcome to the Lister Health Talks podcast. Each month, listen in as a team focuses their discussion on relevant, relatable health content that empowers your health and the readiness of the force. In today's episode, we're laying the foundation to build and strengthen your resilience. Let's get started.
Thank you all for joining me today. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Stetter, the commander of Lister Army Health Clinic and the director of health services for Fort Novosel. I'm really excited to have you here with me as we dive into this month's topic that's not only incredibly important, but also very close to the hearts of many in our community, resilience. Whether you're a soldier, spouse, or part of a military family, you've likely experienced challenges that are unique to military life. Many of us have experienced stressors. Today, we are going to talk about how we can build and strengthen our resilience. I'm joined today by several individuals that are experts. First, I'd like to introduce to you our Deputy Commander of Clinical Services and Chief Medical Officer, Major Joe Adams.
Great to be here, ma'am. Thank you.
I've also got with me today Sergeant First Class Tricia Rock.
Thank you for having me, ma'am.
And Major Daniela Pettinari.
Thanks for having me, ma'am. Excited to be here.
Can you guys maybe tell a little bit about what you do at Fort Novosel or for Lister Army Health Clinic?
Yes, ma'am. I'll start. I'm the Chief Medical Officer, and I'm also the Deputy Commander for Clinical Services. So I oversee the medical providers, all the services in which patients receive contact from medical providers and medical services. And I oversee things like the credentialing and privileging of the medical providers.
And I am the medical company first sergeant. So what I do is basically take care of the soldiers, ensure that they are taken care of and getting the training that they need and in anything else that they need, personal or professional wise.
And I'm the Deputy Chief of Behavioral Health. I'm also an aeromedical psychologist, and so my role in that capacity is to evaluate folks on flight status to determine if they're healthy to fly from a behavioral health perspective.
One of the unique things about the military is we're very lucky in which we are taught resilience from the day we enter the military, if we did not have it before our lives of joining the military. We're also very lucky that the military does truly prioritize people, whether it's soldiers, families, and beneficiaries, and offer a tremendous amount of services to help support resiliency activities. It might not be necessarily called resilience activities, but there really is a lot out there, and we're very fortunate to have it that other communities and other professions may not necessarily have it. Now, Sergeant Ronk, you're also our facility's master resiliency trainer, aren't you?
That is correct, ma'am.
Can you tell us a little bit about what resiliency actually is?
So resiliency is, as we all know, is kind of coming back from setbacks and bouncing back. But also resiliency is knowing how to take care of yourself. And I think that's really important, is just knowing how to take care of yourself when you need to take care of yourself. And so that's kind of what we do here when we train our Lister population on how to be resilient.
Oh. What are some techniques that you've seen in the past or recommendations that you have for some of our listeners?
Yeah, so from my perspective, I don't see resiliency necessarily as one thing that we do. It's very much a process that we need to engage in. And so I think of it from maintaining or cultivating a resilient mindset. And for me, what that looks like is the first step is essentially accepting reality. So we understand that bad things, difficult things, challenging things happen to people all the time. And how are we able to rebound from that? And part of it is accepting the reality of that. And oftentimes what folks tend to do is they tend to take a step back, ignore or avoid the problem versus jumping in head on and attacking whatever challenge they have. So that second step in the process is problem solving and goal setting. So looking at your challenge, identifying what the problem is, then coming up with solutions to the problem. And when you're coming up with solutions for the problem, it's really about brainstorming and not restricting yourself in that moment when you're brainstorming until you've developed several different ideas that you can look through and identify the pros and cons and then pick your final solution. From there, we develop goals. And, you know, I really like the idea of SMART goals, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely to help set those goals for us to be successful?
Well, I think what Major Pettinari said is about setting goals, setting realistic goals is really important, and then breaking them down into smaller ones so they can be more achievable, but also making connections. So building a strong support system where you're at, I think, is really important for resiliency too.
Absolutely, because that social support can help navigate maybe emotional challenges, provide some guidance, and also help with any physical assistance that may be needed within the family unit. I think the important thing is when you're building your social community is when you get to a challenging point in life, not being afraid to ask for help.
So that's great that you mentioned seek help. So something unique, we're a healthcare organization, so we constantly work in a high-stress environment, but we're lucky enough to also be at the home of aviation with all the aviators, which is another fast-paced, high-stress environment. Oftentimes, aviators especially are worried about the stigma of possibly seeking help and that they'll be grounded. So Major Adams, could you talk a little bit about the stigma and some of the myths that come with it?
Yes, ma'am. I think that's a great point. A lot of times we do have aviators who are reluctant to talk about behavioral health or things that they might be dealing with in their lives that are causing them stress because they are afraid they're going to be grounded, that they're going to get a downslip. And what I tell them is that they might get a temporary downslip, but in the long run, they're going to be taking care of the problems that are important to them, and they're going to be avoiding bigger problems. Even though it might result in a temporary grounding, in the long run, they're going to be helping themselves out and helping their careers out.
I think Major Adams is right on. The goal really is prevention. So when you start noticing potential difficulties in your life, whether it's sleep difficulties, whether it's relationship difficulties, whether you're noticing some increased stress given the high stakes environment that we are in aviation, it's important to get that assistance as soon as possible so that we can mitigate that getting to a more severe level. And so from similar to the medical side of the house, if seek treatment early, yes, you may get a temporary downslip. However, that doesn't necessarily mean you're never going to fly again. Oftentimes folks get the treatment and the help that they need and they're back in the air.
I'll offer a story. When I was a younger doc, I had a commander who was an aviator who was struggling with some PTSD and other issues. He ended up being a huge proponent of behavioral health services and resiliency as a result. He was initially reluctant to seek out help for exactly the reasons we're talking about here. He was afraid of being downed, afraid of the stigma associated with it. But now he encourages everyone who needs it to seek out help. And he was a big inspiration in the unit I was in.
Thinking about the picture of resilience, I like for everyone to think about our military families. I know the service members, we do a lot, but the military families, they do a lot too. And they really are, in my opinion, the epitome of resilience because they have to be flexible. They're moving all the time. The kids are moving. And so they go through a lot of things. And it's just they have this natural resiliency that comes through. And so I really think that we should look at that and, you know, appreciate their resiliency and recognize that.
I think from experiences, kind of the things that I have seen work when building resiliency or dealing with a difficult situation has not only be having that social support around you, but also cultivating this idea of this positive mindset, optimism, and some self-care measures. And so for me, I know when I go through challenging times, it's important for me to make sure that I'm exercising, make sure that I'm getting enough sleep, making sure that, you know, I have this mindset on life that's hopeful and I'm looking at possibilities and opportunities in the future versus this perspective of denial of whatever challenge or feeling drowned or pulled down by that challenge. So shifting the way that I'm thinking to a more positive, optimistic mindset, I think has been helpful for me in terms of overcoming challenging situations.
That's great advice from all of you. All of you mentioned, or you use the keyword building or seeking out. So in general, resilience is not something we're born with. It's something we build over time as we all know, and something that it's much easier to navigate through with the support of a community. And what works for one person is not necessarily going to work for another.
Ma'am, I think that's a great point. And one thing I would just want to emphasize is it's important to practice building resiliency in times when you don't feel stressed out or there's not a challenge, so that when a difficult situation comes up, you already have that mindset condition to be able to better handle that situation. So, you know, I tell folks all the time in the therapy room, you have to practice the skill when you're not stressed out to be able to implement it when you are. And I often use the analogy of sports. When you first start learning to play a sport, you're not thrown in a competition the first day you start. You learn the basic skills, you practice in low stress situations so that when you are in a stressful situation, you are able to implement. And it's the same thing with resiliency and coping with challenges, is you gotta practice those things and set those conditions so that when you enter that challenging situation, you're able to manage it.
That's great advice. I think taking care of ourselves, especially in the military, is sometimes hard to do with our op tempo and another thing, and ultimately multiple missions, taking care of people. So it is hard to do, but it's important to prioritize. I myself in the past have been can be pretty bad at it. I was in Korea during COVID, which we were working roughly 20-hour days, and I was not doing a good job taking care of myself. I do know firsthand, if you're not building resilience, that it can impact health. Major Adams, what would you agree with that? Or
I think the foundation of a resilient mindset is a resilient body. So I think you really have to take care of yourself first, and make sure you're getting enough sleep for one, and you're eating appropriately. You want to have a healthy diet. You're getting enough exercise. All those things, they may sound cliche, but they're very important to having or to being resilient. If you're not getting enough sleep, you're going to be stressed out. Your body's going to produce stress hormones. You're going to have high blood pressure. It's going to affect a lot of different things. Absolutely. The foundation of resiliency is taking care of yourself.
Are there some other health risks or things that we see that come through for such as high blood pressure or other items that may happen?
Yes. In addition to high blood pressure, ma'am, it can affect everything from blood sugar levels to atherosclerotic heart disease, your cholesterol, and a host of other hormone levels. But generally speaking, it's just the stress hormones are bad on your body. They're rough on your body.
We all have stressors in our lives. It's a normal occurrence. One of the ways I like to relieve stress, if it's during the day, is get outside and see the sun a little bit. Or daily, I like to work out. I can tell very much a difference in my mood or how I feel if I don't work out. I'd like to go around the room and kind of, if you guys share what you do personally do.
Yes, ma'am. A couple of things I do. One, I try to get to bed at the same time every night. And I avoid things that are going to prevent me from sleeping. Things like alcohol, caffeine late at night, stressful phone calls from relatives that might raise my blood pressure. I write things down. So anything that is maybe a hot topic for the next day that I'm going to be thinking about that's going to cause me to have racing thoughts and prevent me from sleeping, I'll write it down. And then I know I've got it written down, or I've got it in my phone calendar. I don't have to worry about it because I'm going to see that when I wake up. Just little things like that, making sure that we all say sleep is important, but just like focusing on how you're going to get that sleep, I think is very important, because the little details have big impacts when it comes to things like that. And then food, again, I'm getting back to the triad, food, sleep, and exercise. But food, like who's buying your groceries? Are you buying groceries when you're hungry? Are you buying, and you end up buying a bunch of junk? You know, because if your house is full of junk food, you know, that has big impacts on your health, which has impacts on your mental state. It has impacts on how well you sleep, your energy levels, and things like that. And then again, exercise, setting a time, making realistic goals about how you're going to exercise. Telling yourself, I'm going to start exercising next week is not the best way to go about it. You need to make a plan today for how you're going to start working out, and then plan it, and then work your plan. Maybe pack your gym bag the night before so when you wake up, it's ready to go and you don't even have to think about it. Just get up and go. But little things like that, I think, are important. And then other little things throughout the day that just kind of build a sense of structure. Like making your bed in the morning, you know, little silly things like that, I think, kind of set the stage for a stress-free day. and then making sure you're taking some time throughout the day for some mindfulness to take your mind off of the stressful things, like whether it's listening to music, whether if you pray, if you meditate, whatever it is, just to kind of take your mind off the future, off the past, and just kind of focus on what you're doing right there at that moment. It helps you decompress, and has a big impact too, I think.
But one thing that I do on a daily basis is every day, working here, and I'm sure everyone else can relate, everybody wants something from you. They're always asking questions, and it's okay because it's part of our job and it's what we do. But when I get home, I have a family there too. And so I have to put myself in the mindset that they miss me as well. They haven't seen me all day. And I'm not, you know, sergeant first class wrong or first sergeant wrong. I'm mom or wife, you know. And so what I do is I go into my room. I kind of just de-stress, a quiet, just wash my face, put on comfy clothes, have a minute to myself, and then remind myself, okay, now I'm mom. And then now I go in and then I spend time with my family. Family is very important to me. And they actually help me, you know, relax and put my mind in a good place and get ready for the next day.
Thank you. That's very good advice about that you're not Sergeant Rock to your family, and family is important. Major Petnar, do you do anything that...
Yeah, so I think Sergeant Rock brings up a great point in terms of having that time to decompress. I have a pretty long drive home, so that gives me an opportunity to decompress before I get home. But also having hobbies that are not work-related have also been a beneficial tool for me. So I like to garden and play disc golf. So I do that to decompress from kind of the stress of work. And then my faith is very important to me. So relying on my faith community, spending time praying or in the Bible to give me that hope outlook on life and focus on gratitude versus whatever negative event is going on in my life.
Thank you so much for sharing some of your personal experiences. I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Sergeant Rock, what are some of the resources that you've seen used or some of the resources available at Fort Novosel that could help outside of just Lister?
So we have the Military Family Life Counselor, Family Advocacy Program. We have the chaplain that you can go to. So there's a lot of resources out there.
Thank you all for joining me today. As we explored the power of resilience in the military community, whether our folks are facing deployment, reintegration, PCSing, or just daily lives of military challenges, remember that resilience is something that we can build upon. You don't have to do it alone. I encourage everyone to reach out and connect to what works for you. Thank you for joining us, Fort Novosel. Until next month, our care keeps them in the air.
The Lister Health Talks podcast is produced by the Lister Army Health Clinic Public Affairs Office at Fort Novosel. You can catch all of our episodes on your favorite streaming platforms. Stay healthy, Fort Novosel.